meeting to order. A recording of this meeting is available on the city's municipal website. So we'll start with a roll call. Jonathan Stittleman, Ward 2.
Lois Seacrest, Ward 1.
Adam Stout, Ward 3.
Barbara Brain, Ward 3.
Jenny Went, liaison, staff liaison.
Great. So, as with every week, we'll begin with an opening round. Do you have anything in mind?
One item, America's Recycling Day is November 15th, next week. So there's a really nice web page. It's an initiative from Keep America Beautiful, and it's a good opportunity to do some awareness around recycling and green activities.
What was it called?
America's Recycling Day.
America Recycles Day.
America Recycles Day. Yeah, great logo. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of nice posters and things like that on the webpage.
And that's November 15th?
15th. I was working on a piece for auction at Perennial, a local art nonprofit's annual Lost and Found benefit event. So it has to do in some ways with recycling because they give Perennial gives trash to artists, and then artists turn it into a useful household good. And so that will be up for auction on Saturday. We made a combination bocce monopoly about St. Louis, city versus county. So hopefully.
What was it called? Annual Lost?
It's called Lost and Found. It's the remake challenge. I think this is their fifth year of it. So she's got a really interesting nonprofit that has been going for probably 6 or 7 years now. So, yeah.
I saw the University City School System is in the Green Schools Quest, a project-based challenge that they're a participant. I don't know if they've been in it before or not, but the nice thing is they are advertising on the outside of their buildings, on the doors with the sticker. So it's always good to see the local school system participate.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice.
I've been taking part in some honeysuckle hacks. I did one 2 Saturdays ago in Forest Park, and that was pretty amazing because there were over 100 volunteers for that. I think 125 people signed up for it. And then last Saturday and the next 2 Saturdays, I'll be working in Kirkwood Park, removing honeysuckle. That was quite a different experience because there was only one other volunteer last Saturday besides myself, and then the woman who organized it as well. But we got rid of a lot of honeysuckle.
Yeah, I think Councilmember Jennings, were you involved in the one that he organized?
No.
Because they did something in New City around that.
It was, I don't think they did honeysuckle removal this year.
No,
but,
I saw some pictures. Yeah.
I know they did some alley work. Was it honeysuckle removal in the alleys?
Could be.
I always picture it around River de Pere, I guess, but
yeah.
I know it's everywhere.
Was that part of that annual helping
make a difference
yes.
day?
Yes, it was. Yes,
make
yes
a
it was.
Day.
Yes.
Couldn't think of the name.
Okay, so America Recycles Day is November 15th, and I am going to talk to the council November 13th for America Recycles Day to tell them about the economics of recycling. And I will send you guys the presentation as well, and it'll be, I guess, in the regular council meeting. It really is pretty impressive because, you know, we, right now, okay, in 2016 we paid about $40 a ton for landfill. We made $8 a ton on average for single stream recycling. So, you know, we only made $15,000 in recycling, but we paid $500,000 for landfill. So people often think recycling isn't economical because we don't make that much money. But had we landfilled those 3,000 tons, it would have cost us $114,000.
Okay.
So that, I mean, I see it all the time. Recycling isn't economical. Even if we had to pay $10 a ton. And so our contract is basically a slides on the market value of recycling. So we go from negative $10, profit of $10 to paying $10. So it can go anywhere. So far we've averaged $8 a ton, really good. There's something coming up with China that could push us to the other end, but still we're saving $25 a ton. So I want to make sure the council knows that and knows that they need to push their constituents to recycle.
Jenny, would it be possible to create maybe a one-page flyer with just some really basic numbers? Because I see so many people in my neighborhood chunking all of their cardboard right into the dumpsters. And I would be really happy to, you know, send something out to my book club and to my neighborhood.
I would love that.
If I had a one-pager.
Okay, I will put that together with some of the basic information. And because that's what we need people to know. And my big thing is, you don't like your tax dollars being wasted, and you're throwing them in the trash. You are literally landfilling your money.
People just don't know the cereal boxes and the cardboard. Yeah. You know, the super simple things. You know.
I don't know what it is, but okay.
There are people in my neighborhood who never put out their recycling.
Right. And I think if people knew how much money the city could save and put toward important things, I don't think they realize that, you know.
Yeah, we're kind of unusual because I think
right. Most
communities aren't set up that way, and I think people just don't.
Right. Okay, I will send it. I'll send it to everybody, maybe before the America Recycles Day. So on America Recycles Day, I'm going to just do some recycling education with people, staff, hopefully custodial staff, but different divisions. Last year, we had a big America Recycles Day event here because we opened our, we upgraded our drop-off area and, you know, had a big event here, and it was pretty successful. This year, I didn't do that, but I am going to get the word out in some ways. And Adam, I'm the Green Schools Quest mentor for Jackson Park Elementary.
Oh, okay.
They're doing a biodiversity, or they're trying to increase their biodiversity in their schoolyard. So Mitch Leachman came out last Thursday and met the students. They're all first and second graders. And the teacher walked around and talked about what they could do to better green their...
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's neat.
So I mean, are all the schools doing it, or just KP?
As far as I know, Jackson Park, but I don't know. I was trying to get Brittany Woods to do it because it's such a feeder of, especially for recycling, because I know that they, but I don't think they did. I'm not sure. Is that the only school? Did you see it on any other school?
I just saw it on Jackson Park because that's where my kids go.
Oh,
so
really? Okay.
I was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah, they are really excited about it. And then
they always need mentors for that program,
yes.
And I have to say I've never stepped up.
You have it.
If anybody's interested in being a mentor, it's through U.S. Green Building Council.
And you don't have to, I mean, you don't have to be any kind of expert. You just have to have interest because most of the kids are young. It's not like they're, I mean, the first and second graders are like, you know, just excited. That's all, so... and then lastly, you said Kirkwood. My daughter does work for the Kirkwood Youth Service Group in her high school, and she participated in one of the honeysuckle cleanups.
Okay.
But I think it was the week before, and there was a giant mound of honeysuckle.
Yes.
That they, so I don't know who else was there as far as
there
the
was
high
a, the organizer said that there had been a large group of school kids helping, and there were just unbelievable mounds of honeysuckle waiting to be shredded.
Right.
Because they shred it and they use that on their paths.
Yeah. Okay, that's all. Sorry it was so long.
No, that's good. Great. So we have a couple meetings worth of minutes to review since this is our first time having quorum in a couple of meetings. So I think if we start by going back to the September meeting minutes, to take a few minutes to review that and see if there's any changes. Mm-hmm.
looking at the October 12th notes?
The September 14th.
Okay, September.
Do you have a copy? So all in favor of approving the meeting minutes for September 14th?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Good. All right, cool. So we have approved the September 14th meeting minutes. And now we'll move down the list to the October 12th minutes, which I think are on the back page of your agenda. Take another few minutes to review that.
I have a question about item 2, number A. Could more detail be added to that, please? Right now it just says an AIA competition. It doesn't say what it was.
That was the student, Central States Student Design Competition.
Yeah, if you could add more detail, that would be helpful.
Okay, what did you say it was?
It's the Central States Region Student Design Competition, and it would come right after the Architects.
Central States?
Yep.
Region?
Mm-hmm.
Student Architect?
Student Design Competition.
Student.
China's national SOAR policy and recycling and its impacts.
Okay, I got some information, went to a webinar, and then went to a meeting that Republic Recycling spoke about the new policy. Just a little background, in 2013, China started a green fence policy that tried to block out some of the junk that was coming in there. And in February 2017, they announced that beginning January 1st, 2018, they're going to put out their national sword policy, and they're seriously cutting back on materials that come into the country, particularly mixed paper and low-quality plastics. So it will affect the recycling industry. It should not affect our single-stream industry here in St. Louis. We have Republic Recycling and Resource Management are both high-quality materials. When Brent Batliner with Republic Recycling, who we use, spoke, he said that they have increased their composite that goes to the landfill because now they want only 1% contamination rate, and it used to be 2 to 3. So he said they've increased it by a couple, 2 or 3% that goes to the landfill now, because they can't take that chance. Because if a bale goes over there and needs to be turned away, it costs $10,000 per bale. So he said a shipment goes with 10 bales, you know, and if they cannot afford to have those bales turned away. They haven't had one turned away yet, and they're already cracking down. And he said, really, the bottom line is, for us, we might have, in this country, it will affect some of the markets, and there probably will be a slowdown, and he thinks that it'll be really strict at first, and then they'll ease up a little bit. But the truth is, we send things like low-quality plastics there, a bale with a bunch of different stuff. Those low-quality plastics get bought by somebody who's maybe making like a little plastic chip or a little plastic something or other that goes into something else. So what they do with it is they pull out the few good pieces and then they trash the rest. So it's not like all of a sudden nobody's recycling those products, because they weren't recycling them to begin with. It's some of the low quality. So really the big thing is that we need to educate more on contamination and what isn't recyclable, and clean up the contamination. And somebody asked about like throwing in something that's a little bit wet with the paper. He said it's not really a problem. It used to be a big problem when we had the bins at the curb, because then it would rain and that paper would get wet, and then a lot of the load would be wet. But the little bits that we put in aren't bad. The big thing is plastic bags. They contaminate. They're so easy. They're so light. They contaminate bales of paper, and that can take, you know, one or two plastic bags can kick that bale back to America, you know, and $10,000 plus the trips. And then things like garden hoses and things that people think, well, there's plastic in it, so it must be recyclable. So with this regional group I'm in, it will help, but the big thing is educating people to know it's just containers and lids. You know, it's not a toy that's made of plastic that can be recycled, and they put it in and it ends up contaminating a load. And so it all comes down to education. But it will affect us a little bit, but we're going to be okay.
Was keeping the plastics here part of the conversation, you know, improving our recycling practices here, encouraging innovation here?
It was, and it is. And Brent said there is a paper mill that's coming to our region, but they're just now making plans. It'll be 5 years before they get started. And so there is a lot of talk about it, but it takes time, and really the profit margin, and there's not a lot of, since profit margin's low, and there's not a lot of incentives. There aren't incentives for us to keep that kind of a market here. It's tough. But this type of thing will definitely push that, hopefully, development. That's the idea, at least.
There's a, I wish I could remember the name of it, there's a big EPA program, I think, about innovation.
Really?
With manufacturing and the whole life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to dig up the name for you and send it to you. The group that I'm involved in specifically for healthcare is focused on really working with the resin makers and the recyclers and the whole cycle to try to foster innovation, improve practices, create markets.
I know one thing that has been brought up quite a bit too is the environmental stewardship of products. So
right.
When somebody, you know, if you're going to make a CFL in China, you can't just make a ton of them and send them to America and be like, oh, your problem. And, you know, that there
right.
needs to be some type of policies that say, okay, if you're going to make something that's going to create so much waste, then you need to have a plan for how you're going to get rid of it. It's really hard to push in this country. I know in Europe it's heavily...
Take back programs and life cycle.
But I know they have it for, like, tires and car batteries. That's why you pay the charge to have, you know, when you go buy them. And then they have them for smoke alarms. But it's rare. So that is something that would be really great if it would be pushed a little bit more. That would help.
Regarding the plastic bag issue... They're everywhere. And I wonder if there's a way, as part of the education, to encourage people to use
reusable bags,
and also to maybe target the merchants in New City to not be so free with their plastic bags.
I think that is a great goal for us to incentivize. I mean, I don't know how yet, because I know that there were some groups in the area, I know I've talked about this before, about that tried to ban plastic bags in certain areas in Missouri, and then the plastic bag company, whoever it was, came up with the plastic bag ban, so that there's no way to ban plastic bags in the state of Missouri. But that's fine. It could be incentivized to where it could be. I know at Target you get 5 cents back if you use a reusable bag. Every reusable bag used. It's not much, but it's something that, you know, maybe could... I doubt they spend that much money on that program.
I think it's a good idea to target the stores.
Yeah.
Because Aldi doesn't provide plastic bags. Costco doesn't. If we could... Then you could circumvent those community bag bans, which... Yeah, have been outlawed in Missouri.
Another thing, in this regional group, we're putting together a grant application for a regional education plan, and we're going to focus on standard messages, single stream, and plastic bags. So there is a push, I mean, because of that being such a big contamination problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, the regional goal is to reduce landfill tonnage. Plastic bags don't provide a lot of tonnage, but they provide so much contamination. So that is a big push. There's the St. Louis County Waste Diversion Director is really, really pushing that as part of this grant application to get this education out there about, I can't remember how many thousands and thousands and or a million, I don't even know, 100,000s of bags are used every second in this country. I mean, it's something insane to where you can't believe that, like, every second there's so many plastic bags being used. So.
The bag ban.
I found that program that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's called REMADE, Remade, and it's from the Department of Energy.
When you say that again,
it's Remade, REMADE, and it stands for reducing embodied energy and decreasing emissions, but one piece of it is trying to foster innovation in recycling in that whole industry. So it's a great big program. It's a collaboration with universities and corporations.
Is there any way that we can integrate those insights into the sustainability plan?
I was wondering that too.
Absolutely. And in fact, on this handout that I hand out, because I'm working on the waste since we don't have somebody for it yet, but you know, right now it's pretty basic on what the strategies are, but that contamination is a huge thing. And so I don't, that's, we can talk about it later, like how deep do we want to get on the individual goals, but plastic bags is a huge, it is a huge problem. So it would be really great to see that and a goal set for what we want to try to do.
Well, I think it's great that you already kind of constrained it to the goals or reduced tonnage, but that there has to be some education around plastic bags, or make it clear that it has a huge impact on our contract. Third-party or private waste contractors. So even just to integrate that into the language of why it's important is that, because I remember an earlier meeting, it was always sustainability comes down to an economic argument.
Right.
And this is a huge thing. If we have to take back $100,000 of bales of now trash, it means that we need to be more cognizant of how we're working around it. So that's great to know how this thing, this decision in China affects our tiny municipality. Is there anything else that you would like to talk on that, or anyone else have any other ideas? So maybe we'll move along to new business B, City of St. Louis Deconstructing Program.
I'm going to talk about that too. Okay, I don't know if anybody else went to this meeting. I don't even know how I got invited because I'm not... I don't live in the city of St. Louis, nor do I work for the city of St. Louis, but it's not totally, I'm not 100% clear. I sent an email out asking a few more questions, but they have a big project where they're going to, there's like 1,500 vacant properties. I don't know if you know about this, Adam?
A little bit. I mean, they've been working on this for quite some time.
Okay, that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, it's a very slow-moving process.
Right. So there was a meeting, and apparently the demolition companies were required to go to this meeting to learn about it. That's what it sounded like, because the room was full of contractors, demolition contractors, and so instead of demoing buildings, they're going to deconstruct these buildings. There's like 1,200 or 1,500 vacant properties that they're going to focus on. I think there's a lot more than that, that St. Louis City owns. They're going to deconstruct, recycle, reuse... the materials, and then they're going to leave them as green spaces for working with MSD to control stormwater runoff.
So rain gardens.
Right. And so either green infrastructure or at least green space. So I don't know when it starts. I'm not sure who funds it, who's funding it, but they did have a kickoff meeting about it. So maybe it's getting started. But I know it has to, the demo contractors have to agree to do the deconstruction. But the one thing that I really was impressed with was somebody from the Delta Institute brought up, there was a slide that came up about ordinances for, this is for private market, that's what it says at the top. But it basically, like Cook County, Illinois requires a 5% reuse and a 70% recycling goal for all demolitions. You know, Foster City, California requires 50% of C&D to be recycled. So some of that is pretty crazy. I mean, for University City, economic development, they don't like putting those things in place because they feel like then contractors would say, well, I don't want to...
go somewhere else.
Yeah, I'll go somewhere else that doesn't have those rules.
Right.
But one I thought was really easy, maybe, is... Orange County, North Carolina, just says that you have to recycle corrugated cardboard, clean wood, and scrap metal. And so even scrap metal and cardboard, you know, I mean, scrap metal, you can, putting it in a separate container and taking it to the scrap metal place, and cardboard, I mean, if you're in U-City, we always have a place to do put cardboard, and those are two heavy items, and it might be something worth considering. I don't know, Adam, what do you think about putting something like that?
I mean, it wouldn't bother me because we do a lot of that already. I mean, one of the nice things for us is, like with metals and things of that nature or old appliances, we throw them off to the side, and there are plenty of guys in the St. Louis area that will come and pick it all up for free, because then they turn around and turn it in and make their money that way. And for us, it's a win-win, because it's actually getting recycled. We don't have to deal with it as a contractor, and it keeps weight out of our dumpster,
right,
as well, though, that we're paying by the ton. So it's kind of a win-win for our business, so all our guys know right away.
To pull the metal. What about cardboard?
Cardboard, definitely. We recycle all cardboard because we go through quite a bit. Like, it seems like every cabinet you get. What we'll do is we'll just start stacking it up, and then we'll either bring it here to U City, or some of our projects were there 4 or 5 weeks. We'll just chop it up, put it in the local recycling bin that's on site there, and push it out to the curb each week. So, you know, for us, it's one thing besides recycling, which is great, but it also saves the company money.
Yeah.
So all our guys know right away
to
that's
do that.
The way to do it. So,
Lewis?
Question, Adam.
Sure.
Is there a single stream construction recycling available here?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, we are a smaller company. There might be. I know there's, like, as far as, like, metal goes, like, a lot of these siding companies like Metaltech and things of that nature, they have big roll-off dumpsters there that you're allowed to put any metal from a project. You're allowed to take it there free of charge and put it in there. I know there are, this might be something the city might even be able to do. There are a lot of companies that will, for free of charge, bring in a dumpster, put it somewhere where then the local residents can fill it up, and then they come and pick it up free of charge. Because obviously then they're pocketing the money from recycling. But that's their
incentive. Yeah, it seems very doable. I have a nephew who's a construction manager who's done a lot of commercial projects. And he has told me that they don't have any trouble meeting their quota for recycling goals. For them, it's primarily, especially if you do it by weight, concrete, you know,
right,
helps you meet the goal really quickly.
No, I don't know. So I know there's Eco Recycling that's right over here on Page, but I've heard that they have stopped taking C&D waste. I'm not sure. And then I know there's this Leader is a new C&D construction demolition waste drop-off for commercial. And that's in St. Charles or something, and they've really state-of-the-art. But when I went there and toured it, there's a lot of stuff they don't take, you know. But they do take more than anybody else. But what about Rock Hill? Is that just a landfill?
That's pretty much just a landfill.
It's not
C&D. But they're very particular about what you dump there, too.
Really?
Because they have, I believe it's the EPA come in quite a bit. And that might just be because of where they're located.
Lois, I know that C&D is a huge, I mean, it's one of the, like, top six specialty, and we don't have a big market for it here, I guess. I don't know what's going on with Eco, but it's definitely worth considering as far as pushing some type of business development, because it's such a huge volume. I mean, the tonnage is just that concrete. And
And, yeah, as you mentioned, the things that are pretty straightforward and easy to separate out.
Right.
Cardboard, the packaging.
And then it reduces their tonnage as well.
Right.
So, I mean, that might be something we want to consider, something simple like that. That was the big thing that I got out of it as far as the, you know, metals,
no,
cardboard.
No, I mean, it makes sense, especially now where obviously the city's making a new commission for Architectural Review Board, because there's a lot of infill homes going in now where they're actually tearing homes down and either replacing them with another home or with multiple homes. Obviously the market's starting to pick back up, so it might be a good time to put very minimal recommendations in for.
Yeah, the clean wood, the metal, the cardboard, I mean, that should be
no brainer.
Best practice.
I mean, like I said, I don't think the construction companies would have a huge problem with it either, especially if it helps their bottom line and it's relatively easy to
And there could be, I mean, if we wanted to do something first, a voluntary with an incentive for, I know community development is, anytime we mention like cutting the permit costs, they're never excited about that. So
honestly,
I'm not
I think
sure.
It's just best practices. I mean, in the commercial world, every contractor should be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for 15 years. So it really shouldn't be anything new.
So your nephew's company, they have quotas that they have to meet?
If you're doing a LEED project,
okay.
You have goals.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
For, and you can set them at 70, 75, 90.
Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of, I think a lot of people want to follow those LEED requirements without actually going through the certification process.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty standard.
I wonder if WashU has something in place.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they
all of
do.
Their projects are, I think they try to put it on Jonathan's lead gold, silver.
I know, is it a major?
Yeah, they're not afraid to build green at all there.
Oh, I think all of their projects are lead certified.
You might be correct.
Yeah.
I think that silver is their
silver.
Is their minimum standard, but they aim for gold or higher for all of them. Yeah.
In my neighborhood, there seem to be a lot of small kind of rehab projects
mm-hmm.
going on, you know, houses that are vacant,
mm-hmm.
and the quality of those rehabs varies an awful lot. Some, fortunately, there was a house across the street that the rehabber did an excellent job and ended up getting a good price on the house. But there are others I see that
are just slapped together.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Just awful. So I don't know how, what kind of volume from those kinds of
mm-hmm.
minor operations there would be.
I don't
but
know.
I would
it's
think that would be more difficult to reach.
Actually, not.
Those
I
people.
Mean, I still think that they could do plain wood.
They could,
cardboard.
But I mean, just finding them to reach out to them.
Well,
to
they
say,
all
hey,
have to have permits.
They all
that's
well,
true.
The other thing is technically now in University City, you have to have a contractor's license that gets you have to renew in order to pull a permit.
Okay.
It, like I said, to renew it's like $15. That's it, which is kind of ridiculous
I'm
compared to where like
some of these people
that
able
like
to get that license.
You know, Webster it's like $90. You got to provide workman's comp and this, that, and the other. Here in University City, you just have to show up with a driver's license and $30 to start it. And you're a licensed contractor at University City then. To get a general building permit.
That's scary. Maybe we
now, you cannot get a plumbing permit, an electric permit, or HVAC permit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those all, you have to have your St. Louis County license. But yeah, it is one of the absolute easiest places to get a contractor's license here.
Maybe if we increase
But that's one way that you can actually contact.
Yeah.
Right, we have a list. Then we
have
it.
There's
database.
A list that's available.
And also, when people have to come back in, that's an opportunity to re-educate and say the new best practice is
mm-hmm.
doing such
mm-hmm.
and such.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great.
It's easy. It's fun.
Yeah, you'll make money. You'll be.
You'll have a great reputation, which
okay.
is true.
Well, I'm going to put this put on a. Future agenda,
it's
near future agenda to
mm-hmm.
build some type of recommendation, recommended
mm-hmm.
ordinance or something to, I'll find one that's out there. I mean, this one already exists. There's one that exists
mm-hmm.
that I can copy. It's the best.
In all fairness to the planning commission, though, it is very easy to get a contractor's license. It is very hard to pass inspections here at University.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
There are a lot of contractors that won't work there.
That.
I didn't know
so
that.
So I didn't want to act like I was bashing them for just...
Right.
They do have a checks and balance.
Yeah, that's good.
That's in place.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I've heard that from a lot of people that work on our house.
Yeah.
If you're trying to sell a house here.
That's what we do. I mean, we just work basically here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's... If you... know what you're doing, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else on the constructing program? So we'll move on to old business. So We've got the sustainability strategic plan coming up as a goal to be completed. I think that it probably makes most sense for our time to have our December meeting to talk about the sustainability strategic plan. It might also make sense to have another work session, maybe two work sessions over December, so we can edit and then have a meeting in the second week of December. Sorry I didn't send out the invitation to meet during November. Maybe we'll try to do something in the next week or two. I've got a doodle poll all ready to go, and I can send it out tomorrow morning.
I think that would be good.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. I know it'll take a long time to edit things, so if we have maybe one work session, and then our December meeting will be retooled to just be a working session again to try to just...
And we generally don't have a December meeting,
right.
We'll just hold one, right?
We'll hold a December meeting only as
an informal as a work session.
But since we're a pretty small crew, I think it should be pretty doable.
Yeah.
And we'll have Tim and his great expertise
work on the education and Lois, I pulled out some formats, because when I was looking through, everybody kind of had a different format of how it... So the first page is just general information, and we can work it into what we already have. But then if we have... Everybody has a little summary of why this isn't part of the sustainability plan. And on the back, it just depends on how detailed we want to get as far as the strategies. I mean, or, you know, there's goals and there's strategies and then there's action items maybe, and then those action items will be specific to, I don't know, how we want to do that. If we just want to, if everybody works on their own and then get together and then figure out how detailed and the timeline. If, I don't know, Lois, you might know, have better suggestions.
No, I think this makes good sense. I'm doing something similar right now, and I think the framework that we're using is goal, the measure of success, and then the strategies. So very similar. So if here it looks like you put the measure of success into the goal, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. And then there's then the timeline on each of the, well, your metric and your table, so then you know what you're looking at.
There you go. Yeah, I think you've incorporated all the necessary things.
And Lois, I actually just sent this table right before I left work tonight to each of you. It's the what I sent, the one STL goals.
Good.
And yeah, so we can, you know, one of the questions on the front was partners, coexisting plans and programs, and this is a great one. And then we can put the climate action plan, this, and whatever else we want to use as our supporting documentation. But these goals are nice to be able to work, coincide with, so that we're working on the same thing as the regional goals.
Yeah. So who is responsible for which goal? Do you want me to do waste, since that's...
Well, oh yeah, that's right, because you started energy, and now Adam, you're the...
If she'd like to take energy, she can have energy.
No, you can have waste. Do you want to take waste?
I can do
that. Adam.
I tried.
I know.
I tried.
And Barbara's...
I'm doing the ecosystem.
And just one note on that. I had a good meeting last week with someone from WashU who also has expertise in ecosystems preservation. So he teaches a course on that. So he would be a great partner for you on that ecosystems and habitat segment. So he seemed interested. We've just been kind of emailing back and forth, but hopefully he seemed like he might come on to the commission. It would be great. So we have another expert on ecosystems for that.
So who's doing the education?
That would be
Timothy, after he swears in on Monday.
Jonathan, who did you meet with at WashU?
So I talked to John Parks. Do you know him?
I didn't know that name, but I have him.
And then there's another person, Heather Leary or something like that, who's a lecturer in the environmental systems program. So she's the other person we're trying to get as well.
And I reached out to, again, for the second time, her name is Jessica Freeberger, I believe is her last name, but she works for Operation Brightside St. Louis City Recycles, and she lives in Youth City. And since we don't necessarily have a waste expert, so I've reached out to her before, though, and she kind of wasn't it, so I just tried it one more time when you sent that email, Lois, tonight, asking if we had somebody.
Cool. So I've already made a note in my calendar to send that out tomorrow morning. The meeting, sort of first draft work session, I'll try to find a time in the next week or two. And then our second meeting will be, I think, December 9th, will be the date of the second work session. Oh, sorry, December 14th. Yeah.
Oh, shoot. That's my daughter's birthday.
Well, she can come. We're going to have a great time.
She will
we'll
love
get a
it.
Birthday cake. We'll get ready.
She's turning 13.
Slash. Oh, even better.
And she thinks everything's horrible, so.
Well, that's what recycling is all about, is turning trash into treasure. So we will.
Isn't it informal, though? An informal meeting?
Yeah. So she can come.
I don't need to be there. Right?
Oh, I get it. Right, yeah, that one. She doesn't have to come.
You don't have to.
It's although we can get Pintail and Donkey or whatever. We
do. I don't know, but 13-year-old is.
No. That comes back around for 30?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She confirmed in her belief that everything is horrible.
Yeah.
We made her come.
Okay. Cool. So we're. Sorry for my delay in getting that to you. In December would be a wonderfully productive month. And then we've got 6B, the Climate Action Plan Update Summary.
Well, I sent it out. Barbara wasn't able to open it. And really, if we're put, and I hate to table this again, but Lois did a great job summarizing the first 80 pages down to 20 or however many it was. And
the other way around. 20 down to 8. Yeah.
20 down to 8.
Yeah.
So, if I can resend it, and what we have done so far with the information, and Lois said she might be able to.
I just have a few pages left to go.
Really?
Yeah. I have like 5 left to go.
That is excellent. So, okay. So, I'll just wait for you and then try to resend it. Sounds good.
So, we will continue to push along with that.
Yes, what I'm suggesting is that we still keep the entire original document as an appendix if somebody really wants to get into the weeds and read all of the narrative, which is actually quite interesting, but nobody's ever going to read through that whole thing. I can tell you. So we do need a summary.
You have a singular experience with the only people who read.
I've actually read it.
Great. Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
It is awesome.
I actually did read the whole thing and kept thinking that, wow, this document really needs some serious editing.
Yeah. So we're doing that.
All right, so moving along to the seventh item on our agenda, Commissioner reports. Everybody saw Terry's email. He's not in town at the moment. It didn't seem like there was much new to add.
Can I ask a question? Did he provide you any information at all? I'm really curious about this Prop P that just passed.
I haven't heard. Nobody at work has talked about it yet.
I guess there's going to be a town hall next week.
Yeah, I think so. It's a significant amount of money that should be coming into University City with it. I know it's been brought up before that certain council members would like to use it to build a police station, and other members that are dead against it. So,
yeah, so I'd really like to get some input from Terry and some guidance on that.
Jonathan.
Yeah, I can
reach out. See what you can learn.
I'll reach out to Terry on Prop E.
that, and then hopefully he's at our next meeting. Officially, in January. So that's not.
Is it possible also at the same time to get an update from him on MSD? Because I know that's always a constant, ongoing issue. It's very complex.
Where are they? Their
retention system.
Mm-hmm. Correct. While you have his attention.
Yeah.
He's reasonably good at email.
Yeah. Okay. I will absolutely check and get back to you.
Thank you.
So, the next item is distributing reporting schedule and discuss expectations.
Okay. On the on the agenda that I handed out in the last page, so before, in the past, each month there would be reports on the topics. And really, Lois can tell you a little bit about a little bit more about that. Go ahead, Lois.
Oh, okay. So, yes, there was an expectation that each commission member would report out, gosh, this shows 4 times a year, and that's flexible, but yeah, that might be appropriate actually, but the expectation is that there would be work done in each category, and then a report out as per the schedule, so that we keep activities moving along and give people an incentive to get some work done since they know they have to report. And I was always pretty, as chair, I was always pretty flexible about it. If someone felt like they really didn't have anything to report, they could also use that time to seek input and seek suggestions or just talk about the topic. But there was an expectation that people would be prepared and make a report.
Now, one thing we could do, if 4 times is too many, I mean, I see that most of them, except for the last one that does 3 times, do it twice.
I actually think that's not bad, Jenny, 4 times, because, you know, with that flexibility, you can ask for input, you can just talk about your topic, or you can give a report of work that you've done. So that's a lot of latitude.
Okay, and another thing I just thought of is that if you can get somebody to present on your topic, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, if we can get...
It can be informational.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the water, stormwater. You know, there's a stormwater task force that was just created. It was just last month created, and it is... There's one person from Public Works as the staff liaison. Paulette Carr is the council liaison, and then it's made up of residents and also experts in stormwater who all live in University City.
Cool.
And it would be nice to have somebody come and talk to us. I think they're just starting out and it's really fresh, but come talk about that commission or their what they plan. I know they're trying to put together a stormwater management plan specific to University City. I know other municipalities have done them. I think the idea is to take one of theirs and then tailor it to what our needs are here.
There could be a lot of crossover with ecosystems.
Right.
Habitat too.
Yeah, for sure. And then even on energy, I mean, there's so many different people that could come in and talk, which would be nice. And then if we could get, like Timothy, it's going to be awesome about educating and communicating, and then get the word out that we're having the speaker, then we could possibly have people from the community interested. And I think that was the idea when we created the education communication, because we, in the last strategic plan, that wasn't a category.
I think that it's good to add that it can be a sort of informational session. Because I'm hopeful that once we do the plan, that a lot of this stuff will be through 3 or 4 times. So maybe it's more just to talk about it, what issues are arising.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense.
And it doesn't have to be long, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. To keep things. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were still.
No, yeah, I think so too.
No, I think we are.
I agree, because I mean, I'm already thinking, okay, if you talk about honeysuckle and why it's bad and where it came from, and or the Ameren incentives or the MSC storage tanks or how much trash is all over the place. I don't know. There's always something that can be talked, you know.
Yeah. Cool. Seems like a good update. It's
when do we want to start this? Like, or is this ongoing?
I think it's on.
It's supposed to be ongoing, but
okay.
It kind of, we could struggled a little bit on the switchover.
Beginning of
January?
Well, are we going to wait until we have, aren't we supposed to have like 6 members?
So we'll have,
or no?
I mean, we should plan.
We are.
So I'll be leaving in January.
Right, because he's leaving. So then, even with Tim coming on, then there's still just
four.
Because someone has graciously stayed on as
I
well.
I know, right?
Down
there. I will be back for the June meeting.
Okay.
Yes, I will be back. I'll be back for the June meeting. But then after that, I go to Johannesburg.
What?
I'll be going back to Johannesburg.
Oh.
But between the June and July meeting, so I think I will be back for the July meeting. So,
your passport didn't work out. Oh, I guess you're in New York. That doesn't require a passport.
Yeah, no passport required, but it's
you can fly out of Missouri, though. Yeah.
That's true. After January.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I looked at that website yesterday. We're not approved yet.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, I might need my passport to get to New York.
No.
How bizarre is that?
We digress.
But yeah, so we can start 2018. With ecosystems and habitat, and I'll just be absent, and we can switch in. But yeah, I think it's good to just get in the groove of it, and then you know, hopefully at some point this starts to inform whatever the future updates are for the strategic plan. I'm thinking just in terms of water and stormwater, that since it is a pertinent issue on the table for the city, even just to do a rundown of what has been in the news or what is the most current.
Well, and
question.
We, by December 31st, it's in the next couple council meetings. It started in the last one, it's in this one. It are these MS4 requirements, and they're minimum control measures for land disturbance for pre-construction and post-construction. So long-term erosion and sediment and stormwater runoff control, and also during construction. So there's two different ordinances that are being pushed through for MSD requirements for our MS4 permit. So I could always talk about that too if you're not, you know, while you're gone.
Okay.
At one of the Mercer Naturalist classes I took in the summer, we had somebody from MSD come to talk to us about stormwater management issues. I'll have to look in my notes for his name. His first name is Roland. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, Roland Beal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he would be good.
He is a great
talk to
resource.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Cool. And then will this be sent out with the agenda every month just to, as a reminder?
I can.
I think that would be helpful.
I think it's a good idea.
Because it usually like slides straight off of my mind. and it would be good to just have a reminder of that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. So I think that brings us to closing round. Anybody forgot about?
Oh, just one little work-related thing. So I work for Ascension, which is, for those of you who don't know, a great big, huge healthcare system. Hospitals all over the place. And we have a new LEED Gold hospital in Austin. It's a new teaching hospital for the University of Texas. And I get to go see it next month.
In Austin?
In
or
Austin.
Boston? Austin.
Austin. Austin, Texas.
That's
so
cool.
That'll be fun.
Cool.
I'll give you a report and maybe bring back some photos.
Great. And nothing town stuff?
No.
I don't have anything either.
I don't have anything.
Well, with that, meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
What time is it?
6:33.